I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion. Fashion.
Hey. Hello. Dave, can you put echoes on that? Hello out there. Fashion hags, we're here.
We're here, we're not gone.
We're not gone.
We're not dead.
We've always we're been here. Here.
We left.
We've been trapped in the basement here for 6 weeks.
Just not recording any of it. We've recorded so many, but we accidentally deleted, there was a glitch or something.
There was, yeah.
I'm not good at
computer. There was a break in this time-space continuum.
Oh! The upside down!
Yeah.
But you guys were back!
Yes, episode 86!
Can you believe it?
Just in time for the end of the summer.
Yeah.
We've all been terribly busy.
But surprisingly, not much has happened in fashion. It's all been kind of the same for the last 3 months.
That's sort of what happens
you know
in the
what?
Summer, too, I think. Not a lot of moves get made in the summer.
Yeah. Although it must be said, Isabel Toledo has left this plane.
Yes, which is a bit sad.
Great Elizabeth yes. Toledo. Isabel Toledo, rather. Left this plane.
Yeah. Not, she's like 50-something, too. Like she's
yeah, really died bad. Of cancer.
Oof.
Oh, yikes.
Cake in the teeth.
That's not
anyway.
Good.
That's really been the only development in the fashion world.
Yeah. Well, there's a topic we're going to talk about.
Which is the biggest development of the summer. Yeah, they thought they could sneak it out while no one was paying attention, while everyone was in Ibiza.
You know, that's where we've been this last yeah. 6 weeks.
That's right. That's right. Oh my!
We've
tan.
Been found out
partying in Ibiza the whole time.
Oh, this hangover is tan. Brutal.
Oh, all those pills that we took.
Oh, yeah. So we were trying to think of before we started recording what to kiki about, and it's just all summer stuff.
You guys want to hear a crazy horror story?
Does it involve throwing a Lazy Boy chair into a bog?
Or whatever the fuck that story was. The terror swamp? The beaver? No, but sort of, well, here's what's what.
Mm.
I do not care for moths in any way, shape, size, capacity.
Location. Sure. Not into it.
I don't like them.
I don't like him.
Like him.
Huh? Oh my God.
Moth. Moth. Did you hear moss?
I did hear moss.
Moths.
Oh, okay.
Like yeah. the bird, like oh, the fuzzy.
Like the disgusting. I fully heard moth.
Like yeah. the disgusting.
Like the Mothman prophecy.
Yes, okay, moth.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, I misheard then.
So I actually had to have a conversation with Carter the other day about like, which would I rather have in my house, a spider or a moth? And I had to like really think about it.
Yeah, take a minute.
The most gigantic, disgusting moth Ugh. Flew into my apartment 3 nights ago, and Chris was at work.
Was
no,
Chris
he was on the island.
I was like, Chris
was
wasn't there, of course, because that's of when these two things happen.
So I am in bed, essentially. Yes. I'm going to bed. I have a pair of underwear on, and that is it.
Yeah.
There's a light on
You're
in my
room.
Tucking
in for the night, yeah.
This moth was... It was like the size of, width-wise, it was the size, like closed wings against the wall.
Okay.
It was as wide as a toonie.
Hoi-yo-yo-y.
And longer.
So that's like over like an inch, like maybe an inch, a little
yeah,
bit more.
Yeah, for our American listeners, it's like $2.35.
So the width of $2.35 in coin form.
In currency, yes. It was like, yeah, like
that's
take
huge.
Like a 50-cent piece. It was like that.
Yeah.
It was so fucking gross. So I can like... Hear it?
Oh yeah,
I can hear it flying.
It's so big.
Which no.
No thanks.
No thank you. No nope. thank you. So I immediately panic and freak out instantly. I grab my pillow with my really nice pillowcase, as though I'm going to kill this thing with my very nice, soft,
but
beautiful
you're then
white
put your face on
pillowcase
and go to bed.
Yeah. So yeah. that mm-hmm. quickly did not happen. So
just
now I'm
move.
Just running around my apartment with my pillow,
your pillow.
Clutched against my naked body, just darting like scrunch darting around my apartment.
You
want to
know where
thing.
It is, but you don't want to get near it.
I don't want to get near it. Yeah. I don't want to touch it.
Uh-huh.
I don't want anything to do with it. But it's flapping and flying around. I can hear it.
Yeah.
It's the worst. Mm. So I turned the light room. Off in my bedroom, and I go out to the living room where I have a little bit more control of like how I can destroy this thing. And it's not going to get into my clothes.
Yes, sure, your bed or whatever,
or yeah, whatever. And so I just sort of wait and crouch for it to fly out to the light into the bed, into the living room, which it does not do.
Yeah,
it just hangs out in my bedroom in the dark now. So now my bedroom is in the dark. So my plan is now backfired because now I can't see it.
Yeah, you don't know where it is.
I don't know where it is. So turn the light off, crouching around my apartment. I go back inside my bedroom and my eyes are, I don't really hear it moving. And then I can hear this like rustling kind of thing.
Okay.
And I realize it's by my window, like against the curtains. And I'm like, oh, it's trying to get out the same way, presumably, it came in.
Yeah.
So I go over and I open my curtains up really wide and there's lights outside. So I'm like, oh, perfect. It'll fly towards the lights and then I can close the window and I won't even have
logical
to
plan.
Touch it.
Sure.
Well, nothing. Won't have to do anything. Well, no.
That's not going
to
happen. Let's know how this is going down.
It flaps around and then, so I'm in there now like darting around trying to spot it. Oh, and it like swoops down in that like really random bumping into stuff kind of way that moths do, which is the thing that I hate the most about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That like you don't know where, which direction they're going.
The, tink, tink, tink they make when they hit the light bulb.
And this was like a poof, 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 poof. I could hear its wings moving. It was a horror show. So I am now like adjusted to the lights. I can see where this gigantic thing has landed because my walls and stuff are light.
Yes.
So I see that it's now like in the top corner of my closet, which is not great.
That's not where you want a moth to be.
Not ideal. Number one, if I do manage to kill it up there, it's going to just fall into all of my stuff and I have to find it. No, thank you. I'll just move. I don't need it.
Yeah, you need to buy new clothes. It's fine.
I'm sorry. We have to move. I love you, Carter.
I burned our apartment down. We have to move. I'm sorry.
That was me. I apologize. But not only that is I'm way too short to reach it. I can't.
Oh, sure.
I can't kill this thing. It's on the top. I'm 5'3". Like, I can't reach a 10-foot ceiling. What's happening? So then I have to wait now for it to move again because there's no way I can go up and like prod this
thing. Poke it enough to
because
move
then
it.
It'll move.
Yeah.
And I'll have to be close
deal
to
with
it.
Deal with that.
Which is not happening. So I wait a little bit longer. And in the meantime, I'm like texting Chris. I'm like, you need to come home right now. And he's like, on the island, hours away.
In the middle of the night with
he's
no
like,
fairies.
He's like,
or
I
plants.
Can't. He's like, we just started watching a movie. And I was like, you don't understand. Like, this is an emergency. I need you to get on a ferry right now. And he's just laughing. The text exchange that we had was kind of hilarious, but I told him how big it was. And his response was, in all caps, with 3 exclamation points, kill it! Which was not great advice.
Yeah. Nope. That is not what you wanted to hear.
So anyway, finally, it flies over to like the top part of my closet door, which is a hollow metal door.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, I can probably manage this. It's semi within reach. So I have to clear all of my, like, it's right over top of my chair that just collects all the clothes at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I clear the chair off, clear like the shoes and the shit that's underneath it so that if it falls, just a clean slate. I don't have to hunt around in my clothes for it.
It's bits. Don't get all over your stuff.
Ugh. So then I go and I've managed to find a cardboard box in my recycling. And so I fold it up so it's really flat and really heavy. And I have to stand on top of my chair and get close to this
close.
Ugh, fucking thing. And so I was like, I only get one shot at this and it has to die.
No,
it cannot survive.
Yeah, you don't need to hit it a bunch of times.
So I like wind up and I hit this thing so fucking hard and so loud that this like hollow metal door is like, boom! It's like 10:45 at night. Like, sorry, all of my neighbors, apologies. But then it stays at the top of my door. So it's stuck there now. I'm like,
now what?
It's dead. Like, I don't think it could survive that, but it's not moving. So I have no
now
proof.
Now what?
Yeah. Now, like, do I nudge it with my cardboard boxes? Then it's going to fall.
Yeah.
What do I do? So what I do is I go into my cabinet and I get out the vacuum cleaner and I have to pull the vacuum cleaner on top of my chair so I can reach the hose up and I barely have to touch it and it just goes and gets sucked. Of course, it's
super loud. It's now 10:45 at night. Yes. All my neighbors are super mad. Uh-huh. I'm sure.
Too bad.
I don't care. I would have explained to them exactly what the problem was. But now I can see it in, it's like the canister.
Oh, God.
I think I was awake for about 6 hours that night, even after. I was like, just, Carter, why did you have to be awake tonight? It was the worst.
I had a similar experience with a mouse a few years ago. And again, Dave never travels for work, and he just happens, like, twice a year he goes away for two nights or something for a podcast. And I had to deal with it. And then I ended up using, like, some kitchen utensils to, like, deal with it.
Ugh.
And then just, like, throwing them away. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm just going to get a new spatula.
I don't need this. I don't need this one.
Just go get a new flipper tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so I called Dave. And, like, he was in Toronto or something. So it was, like, totally not available to help. And then also, like, he messaged me, like, do not leave it for me. Because I'm going to be home in 2 days. Don't leave this fucking dead house for me to deal with. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't want to.
Did you just wrap it in like a bunch of toilet paper?
It took me a long, like literally like hours of just like stealing myself to deal with it. And it was me alone in our basement apartment. And
in that dark basement apartment.
I knew it was there. It was like in a car, like there was a garbage can and other things. And I knew it was there, but I knew it was dead.
Yeah,
it took a long time. I just remember Dave's text, don't leave it for me.
But I wanted to.
And I really want to. And also, I just want to, like, can I just go get a hotel for two nights until you come home? So I don't have to be in the vicinity of this dead mouse. Oh, well.
I feel your pain.
Oh, boy.
It was horrible. Yeah.
I haven't had such an adventure-filled summer. As that one night you had.
It was not great.
That one time.
It was not good. My mom asked me once. She's like, what is your problem? Like, what is the big deal with moths? Are you just afraid that they're going to, like...
I know a lot of people who, like...
I know.
It's not like they don't like them. It's like, no, they are scared of them.
No, they're scary. She's like, are you just afraid that they'll, like, come fly up at you and go, whoop, 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 whoop. And I was like, yes, yes, that's it. She's like, oh, okay, and, like, kind of rolled her eyes. Like, yeah, that's it. That's terrifying. The reason.
I don't need that in my life.
Yeah.
Might get in my hair, might touch me.
Ugh. Same with butterflies. I don't need a butterfly in my life. They're a big bug. No thanks.
Go fly over there and I'll go, hey, it's a butterfly, and you be on your way, and I'll be on my way.
Get out of
my...
I'm so country because...
We coexist. I don't need that. If a butterfly flew into my apartment, I'd be like, no, don't.
Fuck out of here.
I don't want... This is my space.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. And I would feel worse about killing a butterfly than killing a moth. But I don't need that in my life.
No.
I don't need if I never saw a butterfly again,
you'd be fine. But you'd live a long and fulfilled life.
It's great.
You'd be okay.
They're a big bug.
Oh, yeah.
I remember going to that butterfly museum in Victoria.
Yeah,
and hating every second of it.
That's a literal nightmare for you. I get it.
Were there lots of moths that were also there? There's a few moths.
There's those big ones that have, like, when their wings open, they look like owl face? Eyes.
Yeah.
Fuck no. That's a hard no.
Have you seen the Mothman prophecies?
No.
Don't.
There you go.
Great.
You don't need more explanation than that.
Don't do it. It's for the best.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to seek it out. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Much.
I have been making friends with my crows.
I saw you got some interesting stories.
I heard
on
some weird noises on the roof. This is like the whole summer. And I heard some weird noises and I'm like, what the fuck is going on out there? And we have like a roof that has like a few different layers because there's like whatever, like our bedroom sticks out a little bit, right? So there's multiple, so there's parts of the roof I can't see onto and yada yada yada. And then I realized what the dynamic was, that there's a parent who I'm guessing is the mom. Who looks like she's been through the ringer. Like, she's like, you see her with her wings open and there's a bunch of feathers missing.
Bunch of holes.
And it's real ratty and like real little bit gross.
She's got like a bunch of scratches on her beak.
She's seen some shit.
Yeah.
I'm also assuming this is a female crow because she's with two babies. One of which would not shut the fuck up. One of which is always, And I realized after posting some videos and getting input from people that it was a young one because its eyes were still blue and its mouth was very red. Blue eyes, red mouth.
Weird.
It's a juvenile. It's like, okay, well, I can tell because it's immature as fuck and it won't stop eating. It's always looking for food. And then there's another one who seems a bit bigger and a bit more mature and just always around.
And then some, again, another Instagram friend, I forget who, told me that they will often recruit an older teen crow.
A babysitter.
Yeah. To like help.
No way.
And they aren't necessarily genetically related. Like it's not like it's some, just... sometimes it's a crow from last summer because they'll stay for two or three years with the parents before they go on. So I'm learning all this stuff about corvids.
Corvids are cool.
So the older like sibling, quote sibling, like helps and like they're gathering food and hiding them in a bunch of gutters all over the place. And I've seen them like take food, drop it in the gutter and like cover it with leaves.
Crazy.
And then go back later and throw all the leaves out and eat the food.
Crows are so smart.
Dave doesn't let me feed them.
No, that's you don't want to do that.
But I do know them. And like I saw them like a couple blocks up and I was like, hey, mama. Big and little, I know you. So Dave's like, Crowy Tribbiani. Crowy Sevigny. Crowy Kravitz. And there's another one that good old Aunt Sheila thought up. I forget what it was. Anyway.
Crowy Tribbiani. That's too good.
Oh, so we have so fun. Funny. So the crows, if they're there, I can hear them and I know the baby. Like, I know the crow of the baby because I just won't shut the fuck up. And there's days where, like, the mom eats. And then I see her feeding the baby. And it makes the weirdest, like, because the mom sticks her head.
Right.
Or no, the baby sticks her head in like, the mom's in the mouth or whatever. I forget which way it goes. And there's a very weird.
Like regurgitation.
Yeah, like gurgly, yeah. Like, feeding sound.
So I'm
like,
oh, fucked.
Little one's having lunch. And the other one's just, like, the moody teen, just, like, sitting around, just waiting, helping collect food. So that's been an ongoing soap opera in my life. That's the crows.
Sweet time.
Excuse me.
I love that.
It's great. They leave us alone. They did poop on our deck, which is why Dave doesn't want me to feed them.
Yeah, you don't feed them. That's fine.
I get it.
Then you'll have 50 crows in your alley.
Yeah. I know. And how do I tell the other crows to fuck off? I just want these three.
Yeah.
We're buds.
Yeah.
I don't know you.
Yeah.
I know them. We're friends.
We have a dynamic.
Yeah. We've developing relationship for months now. I don't know who you are. Get out of my ear.
We don't know what kind of beef they all have in between one another.
Right.
It's not my concern. Not in your backyard. That's for sure.
The most NIMBY thing.
Yeah.
The NIMBY crow situation. Not in my backyard. What about you, Evan?
Oh, good Lord.
You've been busy. Busy, but you've been having fun.
Busy, having fun, living life.
Yeah.
Pulling strings, get making some sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out with your friend.
Having a summer. Mm. I'm forcing myself to have a summer because I haven't. I think in the last three summers, I maybe went to the beach like four or five times.
Oh, sure.
And I've gone four or five times this summer,
And it's so easy the rest of the year to not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because everything's just so rainy and cold that you just don't go out.
Yeah.
Like outside. Like you'll go from one building to another building. You'll go to your house to a club or to a friend's house or a restaurant or whatever.
Yeah. Or my house to Dresso to.
Yeah. Back to your house.
Supplier to. Uh-huh. Yeah. Post office to home. Yeah, which is mostly my life right now.
But now you like there. Yeah, there's the beach. There's the pool.
Yeah, beach, pool.
Parks.
Yeah, I got to go to Whitehorse at the beginning of the summer and I got to swim in the Yukon River, which was fucking cold, but it was wonderful.
When else are you going to experience that? That's awesome.
So I was like, it's cold, but when the hell else am I ever going to get the chance to jump in the Yukon River? Probably never. So just do it.
Make it happen.
Do it now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I have a decent dip count.
Oh, nice. Good.
Decent dip count. We don't count pools, right?
You can set your own rules. I don't mind counting a pool, but it only counts as one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's geography based.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Location based. So yeah, if you want to do like
then.
Kids pool, that could count as one. And like New Brighton pool would count as one. But if you went like twice New Brighton pool... Still only one.
Still one. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
So it's location.
It's like
not
different bodies of water, amounts. Not
yeah.
That's right.
Times.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Interesting. I try to hit up as many outdoor pools as I can. I've only done two this summer, but that's okay.
I only did kids' pool.
Ooh,
that was the first time.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful pool.
It's the best. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful.
I love the one at Second Beach downtown is great, but it's a bitch to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So I never go.
Are they both saltwater fed pools? Cool. I didn't.
Maple Grove isn't, which is up at like 55th.
In Britannia, that's just like chlorine.
Yeah, that's just a regular pool. And that again is the middle of nowhere and it's not great and there's not a lot of place.
They're tearing it down.
Yeah.
Apparently it needs to be like gutted and not just retrofitted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm anyway. Very involved in the plans for the Britannia Community Center because
oh,
I figure skate there.
You
in the,
skate there.
I
absolutely.
Skate there.
Right.
Yeah. And this also, my friend is an architect and is very interested in like what the plan is going to be because that complex is like an architectural marvel, apparently.
Interesting.
Because like so much of it is underground and like the elevation is like on a slant.
It's been
and,
there forever.
And it's been, yeah. And it's like weird like 80s drop in the bucket style of architecture that will never get replicated because it's just
you can't do
so
it
dated.
Yeah.
You know? But it's beautiful and it's like quirky and weird.
Yeah.
It's like a little village.
And who, yeah, it's in a weird part of town that you don't think there'd be like a brink.
Yeah. You just like turn the corner and you look down and like a story down, there's a full Olympic sized skating rink.
Yeah.
Crazy. I've never been out there.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. It's really
nice.
Thanks. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So I'm just planning my fall, winter, spring life. That's what I'm doing
next
right
few
now.
Months. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the end of the summer, you can get those, put your sunglasses away.
Mm-hmm. I want to get one more dip, but it won't be adding to the dip count because it'll probably just be a previous dip.
You got to do it. You got to get them in where you can.
Yeah, definitely. So.
Yeah, we want to, it's a long weekend coming up, so we want to like
get some in.
Really up our numbers
yeah.
this weekend. Take advantage.
Yeah, absolutely.
If there, before we move on to anything else, I don't want to interrupt you if you had anything else to add, mm-mm. but I'm doing this as a PSA. The most recent episode of Throwing Shade podcast, which you should absolutely be listening to if you aren't already. It's the August 28th day that was just released.
Okay, I don't think I've listened to that
today,
one
I think. They have a guest on there who is a, not a doctor, but like a physician's assistant, which is very close to a doctor. Tons of training still. But she works basically exclusively with trans patients and
really
she and is really like care-based isn't the right word for it. I forget the term that they use, but it's like sort of a whole like a holistic way of looking at medical care. So like what happens
just,
before yeah.
you don't
see
the
doctor,
the acute problem that you're dealing with today.
Yes.
It's a whole
yeah and looking at a whole person and a whole person's experience with the doctor specifically for trans people.
Mm-hmm.
So this, my PSA is this, if you have questions or are curious, which you absolutely should be, if you don't know what trans is, listen to this.
Or what this means. Yeah.
Not even the whole episode. Just listen to the last half of it. If you have any questions about like gender reassignment surgery or genitals on a trans person, what the
how
deal is, what
works.
Is a top surgery, what is a bottom surgery, what do trans people deal with when they go to the doctor, all of those kinds of issues are she talks about in a really like approachable way. I learned so much.
It's amazing.
It is so, she's so articulate, she's really fun, she's really smart, really knowledgeable, and she answers questions that are like the kinds of questions that if you are even a little bit woke, you know to not ask someone,
yeah.
but she will answer them.
But you kind of want to know.
But you kind of want to know, like, what is the deal? She talks about, like, Erin Gibson, who's the host who interviews her, asks, like, is it a different price? Does it cost more to be a trans woman transitioning
or
trans man transitioning?
Yeah.
Like, what are those costs involved? Like, what kind of care is involved? Is there more risk? Is there less risk? How do you do, like, how do the hormones work? It is such a good, well-rounded introduction to that. If you have any questions or are at all curious about trans, and if you're not curious, you should be, because it is a topical thing and these people are real and human.
And information
and
is empathy and compassion, so get some.
Get some.
Acquire
is,
more, please.
I just listened to it on the way here, and I was glad that it was finished before I actually got to your door, because I would have just had to sit on your front step until it was done.
Yeah.
It's so, so, so good. Throwing Shade, it's the episode from August 28th. It's called Reproductive Coercion. Trump admin adds SCOTUS to legal, blah, blah, blah. You'll see it. And Kayla McLaughlin is the guest that they interview. It's so
fantastic.
Interesting. Just as a PSA, we love Throwing Shade. We love Erin Gibson. We love Ryan Safi. And this episode
we also
was
have
like,
LGBTQ2A things close to our
totally,
hearts.
Totally. Totally.
So.
I learned a lot. I like to think of myself as a pretty woke person, but of course you're curious about things that you don't know or understand or are foreign. I'm a size white privileged lady.
And just because you know someone who is experiencing these things doesn't mean you're going to ask them these things.
Mm-hmm. Unless you have a very specific context or relationship with these people. That's not something that you should or they should have to deal with.
It's none of your business, but if you're curious, she's got some answers.
There you go. This is a great context for it.
So interesting. So that is my PSA. Cool. I didn't want to save it for an obsession because I wanted to front load it. Nice. And I have another obsession, but I thought it was...
Save the nonsense for the important stuff for now. It was nonsense for later.
Worth putting out there. So thank you for that indulgence.
And you should be listening to Throwing Shade anyway, because it's amazing.
So now, should we move on to the topic?
Yes, let's move on to
the topic. My God, it's only been 30 minutes and we've been yammering.
It's been a slow summer, and it's kind of the dead part of the fashion season. Katie and I were, Evan's always busy, so it's kind of a different deal for the Evan Ducharme show. But it's there's kind of July and August, everybody kind of takes a vacation and nothing much happens, except for this very large thing that happened on the global fashion stage. In coordination with the G7 summit, which is happening in France right now, that 30 brands, I think there's more than 30 now, have decided to sign this, what they call the, quote, fashion pact.
Is it 30 brands? I think it's 30 companies. 30
companies, yes, because there's just like a bunch of different brands. Yes. Yeah. So they have decided that they are going to sign on to this pact. It's not legally binding or
binding at all.
Or binding at all by any fact. To be more sustainable. And they're getting a lot of applause for it. And then we read it as hags and go, really?
Okay.
Let's just sift through the PR bullshit here.
Yeah, let's figure it out because it's... I was trying to understand how it started, and it started with Emmanuel Macron, who is the president of France. He's been instituting a bunch of environmental initiatives in France to not have the planet explode to a flaming ball in space.
But to distinctualize himself from
Monsieur
Donald Trump.
Mr. Trump. So
is very important.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. To note. Yeah.
So he has, and then he's, I don't know how chummy he is with, what's his name? Pinot. Henri Pinot? I forget his name now.
François-Henri Pinot.
Yes. Who is in charge.
You can't get more French than that, ladies.
No.
I'm sorry. Should I say Salma Hayek's husband? Mr. Salma Hayek's.
Yes. Who was formerly the head of LVMH.
I didn't know that.
Well, they're married. Idea. Her kid is his. And, oh, yeah.
And I'm all out of wine for that statement.
Oh, dang it.
No. They've been together for a while now.
Yeah.
But he used to be the head of LVMH, and now he's the head of Kering, which is like the... arch nemesis of LVMH, which is what they represent. Gucci, Burberry, Adidas, Puma, all these huge
Stella
brands.
Stella McCartney,
McQueen, all these huge brands. And they've become buds to spearhead this initiative to make this pact. First of all, genius name, fashion pact. Come on. It's supposed to be cool and glamorous, and this is what you come up with? I guess you're dealing with politicians. You can't doll it up too much.
That's right.
And you can't use anything that could be legally binding. Pact, I don't think has any legal international legal standing.
Yes.
You know?
Or any, you know.
It's not like it's an accord or a treaty. Yeah. But we all know treaties are not honored either.
Yeah, I was going to say treaties don't have the best track record.
Yeah, no, I would avoid that word too.
I read treaty in the Business of Fashion article, and they're like, it's not like we could do an international treaty or anything. And I was like, well, it's not like the treaty would actually
fucking
work.
Yeah. 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 Call it whatever you want. Doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
So it's a voluntary sustainability pact, which again has no legal...
Ramifications
or consequences or punitive damages or actual legal requirements.
Right.
Yeah.
I am happy to see that is based in science, that these targets and these things that they're hoping to improve or eradicate are actually based in science. Like they're actually talking to the WWF, not the wrestlers, what do they have? They were talking to the
World Wildlife Federation.
Yes, the World Resource Institute, the UN Global Compact, and the Carbon Disclosure Project, which is based out of the UK. So it's nice that they're talking to scientists.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
To then make these set of guidelines. And you know what? They're going to police themselves, too.
Yeah.
Huh.
That always goes well when a group of white, rich,
super fucking rich people
set together and decide they're going to do a thing and we'll just take care of it ourselves.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're billionaires.
There's no system for accountability or no targets to meet by a certain amount of time. Just sure. Kind of although go set about the targets, business.
But then if you don't meet them,
no big deal.
Well, try better next time. We'll come back in 6 months and we'll check in again.
Report
well,
your findings in X amount of months.
Yeah. And then also
recommendations for the future.
Yes. Yeah. And if you are policing yourself, then the accountability to the other, like, I don't know how this is going to work. They are calling for, what do they call it? Rigorous transparency requirements, which means everyone needs to be upfront with this sort of information. But again, what does that mean?
This sounds like Caring needed to save Burberry's bottom line after that huge shit fuck clusterfuck that happened a couple months back. This is what that's sounding like.
Oh, yes.
Maybe,
yeah.
Like, maybe because the president of France, and France is a global leader in fashion and has historically been the fashion, you know, Mecca center of the world.
Yeah. Maybe Mecca's the wrong word. Yeah.
Maybe because there's a politician who's like, you know, inching this shit along and who's like, okay, guys, let's make this shit happen. Maybe there will be some level of follow up. I mean, hopefully, I'm trying to be optimistic about this.
So hard, man. It's so hard.
Because like when you say it like, you know, transparency, like, great. Here's all the transparency you need. Our industry is fucking horrible. It's the second biggest polluter next to the oil and gas industry globally. It employs millions and millions of primarily women at low wage jobs.
Underpaid, overworked, unprotected, oppressed.
And not only that, on the
kept in cycles of poverty.
Absolutely.
You know, with definitely with you know, environmental What is the word that they use? Guidelines in place that get ignored constantly. So transparency.
They signed a bunch of shit after Rana Plaza. What happened?
Yeah.
Bupkis.
Nothing.
So like, it's the way that you summed up this article in our text thread just is so delightful. I'm going to read it because it just is so fucking good.
Spot on.
And what you said was rich white man does the bare minimum and gets standing ovation.
Yeah.
Absolutely true.
They whipped up a Word document. Enough.
Yeah.
And then they're all like high-fiving each other.
Yeah.
They put together a PowerPoint for the G7 summit and they're like,
bye.
Great job, guys.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's all get on our private jets and go home.
See you in St. Bart's for Christmas. Yeah.
Totally. Like, like, even just saying, like, transparency, we're going to be open and transparent. No, I'm sorry. That's just not enough. First of all, you're not going to be. It's not going to happen.
Second of all, that's not going
to. That's not enough. Then what? Then what are you going to do? You're going to ask for some recommendations and you're going to put them forth. And then what? Nothing. Like, I'm so tired of seeing all of these big companies that are like, well, these are the things that can change and here's what can happen and should happen and we need to be open about this and great, let's everybody get a pat on the back and go home. Like, no, like that's running out.
That's like step 0.5.
Yes.
And there's like 50 other steps you need to do.
There's 1,200 other steps that you need to do right now. Like time is running out.
Yeah, so like they have some of these projections that they have for themselves are like reduce zero emissions by 2050.
Yeah.
Great. Apparently we have 12 years.
Yeah. Yeah,
whatever, until like the whole planet explodes. Yeah. So great. 2050. Way to go, buddy.
Great. Half of you will be dead by then anyways. What do you
exactly
care?
Yeah. Oh man.
And most of them can afford some sort of climate controlled bunker when the whole world starts to be completely unhappy.
I've seen the Kinsmen. I know they fly all those rich people to a cave in the Alps and they're all living and having parties and hanging out with Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson.
And what's her nuts with the legs that are knives? Yeah, I've seen it. I know what's going on.
If Pam's in the Kinsman, then
we're going to make good with some billionaire before the world ends so that we can have a spot in the bunker.
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord.
We'll do a podcast from beyond the bunker. From the bunker.
From the bunker.
Oh, my God.
Imagine.
Fashion Hanks bunker edition.
Still not getting paid.
Still not getting paid since 2016 or whatever
this
it was.
Is how we can keep our journalistic integrity.
Right.
Oh, man.
Do we have journalistic integrity?
News to me.
Jesus Christ.
Gotta take my name off.
I guess we're not sellouts. That's
yeah. Integrity. Truly, no one can ever say the Fashion Hanks are sellouts.
That's true.
No.
That's true.
We have taken a front row seat at a fashion show time and again.
You got to.
That's about but it.
That's, as far as I'm concerned, we're owed that.
We're doing okay.
For our duty that we've paid to the fashion community.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, man. Well, I found this quote from the chief sustainability officer at Kering. That's a job now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's lots of people have that job.
Someone's making six figures to do that job.
Uh-huh. To be a mouthpiece for pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. Pieces of shit billionaires. When she said, and it was a woman, Mary Claire DeVoe. Meaningful change will start here, given the volume and breadth of the companies that have agreed to be part of this. And that's extremely exciting.
I'm sorry, I blacked out. None of what you said.
I was like, what?
It was words, but they didn't mean anything.
What did they say?
So I'm looking at the brands that are doing this, like Gucci, Burberry, Hermes, Chanel, all these huge brands. And then ones like H&M and The Gap and Inditex, who owns Zara. How's that going to work?
Yeah.
How's that going to work? I understand that the higher the more luxurious higher end brands
don't
work the same way, right? Yeah. They don't have the same supply chains, they don't have the same demand, they don't have the same production, so they can potentially make changes. What's Zara going to do?
Like the kind of goals
have
that
one store in every city in the world instead of six
and make 4 billion pieces of clothing a year.
Yeah.
Like a goal that I would like to see out of a thing like this is like across the board 50% of your assortment has to be, or 50% of your synthetic assortment needs to be recycled plastic.
Yes.
Bare minimum. You know, the kind of goal that needs to be
Zara set. Actually said in the last few months, let me fill up the article. I just have it here. What do they have? Fast fashion sustainability. This is from The Fashion Law, an independent source for law, business, and culture. Fast fashion sustainability endeavors need to be more about more than fabrics and recycling. And Zara. Oh, sorry. They produce 450 million garments a year. Sorry, my numbers were off.
Ugh, that's so...
But they had, I forget what year, I'm trying to figure it out here, that they would have all of their synthetics be recycled. But again, it's like by 2030 or something. And you're like, I know how fast you work. And you still can't make this happen
also
10 years?
We know how much pull you have. Like, you have so much pull in those factories that you're working for. You should go to every single one of your factories. And again, I'm speaking as a blowhard, what do I know? I know that they have the
fashion pull. Non-expert.
Yes, exactly. But I know that they are employing lots of people in lots of factories in lots of places that if they said, listen, if you want to do this with us again,
that need to be made.
We need 50% of your assortment to be recycled.
Yes.
We need every cotton piece to be traceable. We need to be organic, and we need to know that the water use is managed and that you're working with the farmers to make it right.
Yes. Be it recycled, be it cleaned appropriately, whatever.
Whatever.
Put some fucking solar panels up.
We need to know that the leather
don't run on coal and gasoline to run these fucking factories.
Yeah. We need your it cannot happen at the consumer level anymore. That's forget it.
No, that's not going to happen. Done. It's like the whole go vegan to save the Amazon. Nope.
No.
Yeah.
Nope. Sorry.
Where do you think your avocados are coming from, baby?
That's another hill I'll be dying on for the next little while. Anyway.
Just veganism and Amazon.
But that's a good point because they are in a position to make these calls because at the end of the day, they are the ones paying.
Like
they're the
all
ones dishing out the money to these factories and hiring all these contractors who don't have any accountability and they don't talk to each other. And in fact, they're constantly undercutting each other to get these contracts. None of those companies are signing up for this pact. None of these huge international companies that run out of Asia and, you know, all of the, or whatever other parts of the world and Turkey, they're there and in Southeast Asia and China and whatever. None of those companies
are involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of it needs to happen at the
because they're not motivated to. Yeah. They're not motivated to and they are not asked to.
Yeah.
And also, who cares if whatever XY company in Bangladesh is signing this? I don't like.
Yeah, they'll sign whatever.
Mean anything to me.
They also signed
but
the thing
Chanel
that said
Chanel signs it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's such a big impact to the world.
Yeah. And we should be grateful.
Yes. Yeah. Although Chanel doesn't really mass produce clothes at the scale of the Gap
Zara
or
and the
H&M.
Gap. And they don't
they're not making
in
400 million garments
no.
a year.
They're not underpaying their staff so they have to slip notes into
exactly.
garments to escape.
Their staff is like upper middle class white ladies from France. You know, like they're not, you know, like the demographics are different as well and the experiences of these workers are different as well.
So then maybe the optimist in me is trying to see this in a way that, okay, Chanel and these like big
these
name
big hitters,
brands,
yeah.
these heavy hitters who have some clout in the industry, maybe when, I mean, fuck this guidelines thing, first of all, but maybe if they start implementing this change that, like you said, is way easier for them to do than Inditex or Inditex, and Gap and Adidas and Puma and all that. And like, to their credit, Adidas is doing some cool work.
Really H&M has got some stuff going. It's it's super problematic. And it is not a solution. But at least like Adidas has recycled ocean plastic shoes now. And H&M has the recycling thing, which is a whole other thing because they can't actually recycle all the things to the ability that they're also churning out things. Anyway, but
that's
at least
another one. So if you are, this is my dream scenario. There should be, for any of those sort of fast fashion brands, your Zara's, your H&M's, your whatever
Forever 21's going into bankruptcy, potentially.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yay!
Hallelujah!
The end is nigh.
Boy. They're going to take their billions and run away.
Oh,
and cry themselves to sleep in their golden pillows. That they did not have to use to kill a moth.
They did not.
No.
They paid a guy to come and kill that moth.
Oh, yeah. They don't have moths.
They paid some brown person to do that.
Rich people don't have moths. Oh, God. I'm sure there's a Kardashian episode of them chasing a moth around their mansion.
That
there
was
has
purposefully
to be. That was set free by like a production person just to like instigate because it was a slow shooting day.
Yeah. I got to look for some storylines.
Oh, imagine.
Oh. But anyway, so part of it is like, yes, you need to. First of all, you need to put out fewer things. That's one of it. You need to train your customers to do better.
The model now for this fast fashion that is like essentially on the shoulders of Inditex. They're the biggest player in the game. Them and Forever 21 and H&M is like there is no end to that growth chart.
Yes,
like it's exponential. The potential for growth is unending.
Endless.
The potential for production, like there is no cap.
But not
there
only
is
that,
no goal. It is just
and it is encouraged to grow every year.
Every year.
Yes. So that capitalism needs to change.
Guys,
we'll get right on
no
easy
need
solution.
We just need to have a complete collapse of the international financial system.
Wouldn't that be
world.
Great?
Yeah.
I'd love it. That would be amazing.
Oh God.
But
we'd all probably be out of a job since we all work in fashion, but
I do feel bad for the people employed by Forever 21.
That sucks.
That's the other thing. Anyway.
But, okay, so here's all these guidelines that we're going to perform. We're going to be transparent and blah, 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 blah. But there is also, on the other side of things, in reducing. So either you're putting out fewer collections or you're putting out fewer garments and they are made of better quality so they will deliberately last longer and maybe your price point changes, because it should. But on the other hand, if you're not sort of contributing to that part, you need to be giving money to the catastrophe that's happening in Brazil. You need to get the money that you put together collectively to save the fucking Notre Dame Cathedral. You need to get those billions of dollars into a focused solution that
I keep hearing about people developing technologies to get the plastics out of the ocean.
Yeah.
But they just don't have enough capital to make it happen all over the world. Like they can make one or two of these machines or these systems or whatever. Give them a fucking bunch of money.
Right?
Besides the fact that the fashion industry is the number one source of microfibers in the world and in our water systems.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
But that's like, what? There was 3 points to this like thing that they were going to do. WOM was stopping global warming and having zero emissions.
Great.
We're going to stop global warming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chanel is going to stop global warming. Yeah.
The other one is restoring biodiversity to restore natural ecosystems to and protect species.
Okay, yeah.
The gardenias that make Chanel.
So I don't, like, that is like the widest, like, that's the broadest. Like, what? How does the fashion.
Yeah, what?
What?
Uh-huh.
What? And then the other one, this is quoting from I think it was the Business of Fashion, or maybe it's the fashion article I read. It was protecting the oceans by reducing the fashion industry's negative impact on the world's oceans through practical initiatives, such as gradually removing the usage of single-use plastics.
Gradually.
Yeah, what does that mean?
No, listen, 2021, no more single-use practices. Like, anytime you order something online or not even online, as a wholesaler, you order something from a factory, it comes in a plastic bag.
Yeah, every garment enough, in its own.
Enough of that. Fuck that shit.
There's got to be a better way.
Or get a compostable bag. They exist.
Yeah.
Put all of this money into developing those technologies that you can find a compromise for, like, a compostable plastic bag.
Yes.
Not a single use. Here's my fear about this whole single use plastics thing. Mm-hmm. They're going to be a fucking Ziploc bag instead of a regular plastic bag. Because that is a reusable plastic.
Yeah, like those you order the Glossier makeup and you get the little bubble envelope, which everybody loves, except you order a bunch of shit from Glossier and you have 20 of them, and then what the fuck you're supposed to do with them? You still throw them out.
Yeah.
Oh. And one of the big disconnects, especially with this H&M example of that they have this, and why fast fashion can just theoretically, like, it can never be sustainable. Because they, like, the whatever actions they take to mitigate the damage that they are doing will never outweigh the damage that their production and supply chains are creating.
Yeah.
Like, it is pure PR. It is greenwashing in its truest form, where they just say they're doing stuff to put it on a bag or to have a quote in Women's Wear Daily or whatever. But there is no way that it is going to make a dent.
Yeah.
If they're producing 450 million garments a year.
Yeah. It's crazy.
One of the initiatives that Emmanuel Macron wants to push in France, and I don't think it's happened yet, is to make destroying unsold product illegal. And then there will be legal punitive damages applied to companies that do it, because that is a very common practice. Mm-hmm. In the fashion industry,
especially in fast fashion,
to burn it, get rid of it, just cut it up and throw it away, ship it off to Africa or the Philippines or some other country where you have some horrible trash. It's also a thing that's been happening in Canada lately, where people are getting pissed about us sending their garbage to them, and rightly so.
Rightly,
we
so.
Should not be sending our garbage to overseas. Yeah, so that's the sort of shit that we need. Are these, and so I read something else, so I forget who it was. Maybe it's that chief sustainability officer was talking about how part of the appeal of this pact and why so many brands have gotten on board with it is because there are no ramifications. It's because there's no accountability. So of course they're going to sign up, and they're going to set out a memo to everybody, and they're going to have a microphone shoved in their face, and they're going to appear on CNN or whatever and talk about it.
Great PR.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They get their FaceTime and you get to hear about it, and then you go shop there and you feel good. Mm-hmm. Buying your polyester bullshit.
The thing is, it's such a many-headed beast. It's so multifaceted. It's so diverse and large and set. Like, the systems that are in place have been operating and perfecting themselves for a while to wildly unsustainable. Yeah. So going back and making those changes is extremely difficult. But this solution is like one half step forward.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, we recognize that there's a problem. That's truly what this is. It's a recognition that their industry has
some
skeletons in the closet that they need to clean up.
Oh man. Yeah, it's brutal. I don't, we'll have to see what this what this looks like. And they're, like I said, they're going to have to, like, these self-policing thing, and they're going to report to each other or themselves. I don't know. But between the physical production of garments and just how that works and how they have to be shipped, like the pure logistics of it, and how, like you say, how complex it is, and how many, like, H&M works with, I don't know, 1,000 companies to produce various things. So that, so the physical logistical part of it is so complicated. Mm-hmm. And then you add a bunch of capitalism inside with that, where, like I said, people are constantly, like, you go to Bangladesh and you're looking for a company to make your jeans for you. And you take meetings with a bunch of people and you crunch the numbers and you make your offer, they make their offer, and then they need to make a living for themselves. So they're doing all sorts of shady shit to get this contract with you. And then they telling you one thing, and then they just say, oh, yeah, yeah, we have fire extinguishers and all the buildings are all safe. And you go in and you do a little tour and you nod your head and go, yeah, 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 yeah. And then little do you know that they only showed you, you know, the front room of the factory, and the rest of the factory is a complete shit show.
Yeah.
But there's no accountability for that. And there's no...
In general, there's no accountability. Yeah. There's definitely companies who...
Well, that's the thing. Like, we do see manufacturing in Taiwan is amazing nowadays. Like,
and with, Sri Lanka apparently.
And Sri Lanka is another place with, like, closed water systems and sourcing things better and yada yada yada. So it is possible. Excuse me. It just costs more and takes longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is against capitalism.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's against the fast fashion model completely. Yeah.
Which is the antithesis of the fast fashion model.
Yeah.
That you have to wait more and then things might sell out. Things might sell out.
You might have projections that you can actually work with and not guessing. And then you need to shut down 150 stores, which is what H&M just did last year. You know, it's like...
Well, Forever 21's doing it. And, like, it's not like Forever 21, like, just, like, finds an empty space and moves into it. No, no, no. They are all retrofitted to be a specific Forever 20. So how much money is going to that? Mm-hmm. How much brain power is going to that to make all these individual Forever 21 stores and then filling them with their shit?
Yeah. It's like when I worked for... actually, the NDA is probably gone. When I worked for Topshop, you needed to have a certain amount of garments per square foot, and they needed to be a certain amount of dollar amounts.
Okay.
Really?
Because the rent... Because
you had to cover your overhead.
Your product needed to make a certain amount of money per square foot because of the size of the space.
Right.
They're not in the suburbs. They're downtown. Yeah. They're in prime locations all over the world.
Yeah. And that was the way that Topshop ran their merchandising. It was not any... there was, like, some creative aspect and, like, it, like, certain collections were grouped together, but that's just, like... You use X fixture with this lighting plan, with this face out, with this collection. Boom. You have your whole display. And here's all the mannequins you need to do.
Yeah, and you just need to jam as much shit as you can in there.
Yeah.
And then change it every week regardless of how much is left.
Yeah.
Whether it's all left or whether there's none left. You still got to switch it up for new stuff. Because Zara's got, you know, 1,000 new designs a week. Or whatever, right?
Yeah, and just like the sheer volume of stuff that you would get in a day. It's... insane. Absolutely insane. Like I remember waking up at 3 a.m. to go to H&M at 4 a.m. and do truck. It was called truck, and you just unloaded clothes all morning, and it was thousands of units.
I'm saying the store was open until 10 or something, right?
Yeah. And these units needed to be on the floor half an hour before the door opens.
Yeah.
And it was hell if you were running late. And it's like, how many boxes are left? There was like, if we were running behind, there were people coming in, be like, you have too many boxes left. What's going on? We need more people out here.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like, you're not thinking about all of these like 19-year-old, like fresh out of high school children who've never had a job before.
These clothes are more important than you.
Yeah, it's just like.
Get them out on the fly.
Yeah, we're all these literally. People in their 20s and 30s who are doing shitty retail jobs to stay a fucking alive.
Yeah. It's like, and they pay
and people, keep their head above water, and then you're stuck.
And it's just like the treatment is so demeaning. The work is just like, what are you doing? Like you get like, I never felt like fulfilled after a day of work.
Sure. Like, oh, I did something today.
Yeah. It was just like, I'm bone tired. And what the hell did I do? I hung clothes for 8 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
ugh. Flipped hangers around.
Literally. Yeah. And then that needed to be on a different hanger, so we needed to put it on. And then it was like a whole four rails of clothes that need to be switched onto different hangers because
my shoulders hurt just thinking about it.
You know?
Reaching up to the rail.
Yeah, and it's not like a regular rail that you'd have in your bedroom. It's like a shipping rail, which is like 12 feet high, and there was people up and down on ladders. If you were shorter than me, and I'm like just barely 5'11", you needed to be like on like an apple box or like a something.
Sure,
like
a stool or something. Or a stool, yeah, like a ladder.
Getting up on these things. It was wild. Man. Yeah, I don't miss it at all.
No.
The stock room at H&M is like the eighth ring of hell, honestly.
I bet, hey.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And every time I went in there, I was like, is one of these shelves going to fall and land on me and this is where I'm going to die?
And who will find me? How long will I have been dead?
Because...
Not long. Yeah. If they're switching these boxes over, they're only going to find you in a couple hours.
In a couple. Minimum.
You're still dead.
Minimum.
By 4 a.m. the next morning, at least.
Yeah. At least. Minimum. God.
Oh, man. It bums me out so much that the fashion industry is...
Sucks.
The reason why the planet is... And if aliens come and you're like, oh, you're destroying your planet so you can have a new crop top? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like really? We're
you deserve,
go.
Yeah. You deserve to be invaded.
Everything you get, my friend.
Yeah. I think the aliens have come to Earth every now and then, like every couple centuries and been like, y'all are fighting in about the same religion. It's just two different flavors of the same religion. We're just going to...
Oh, you're still fighting about this? Yeah. Okay, we're going to come back in 100 years. Oh,
that's
you're still
a problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you guys still do religion?
It's real fucking hot in here, guys.
Oh, my God.
We're just going to go back home.
Yeah. We're just going to keep moving on to the next planet and see what's going on over there because this one's too fucked. Oh, boy. So,
you guys want an introduction to this, read the Business of Fashion article about it.
Yeah,
we'll put a link, and then
there's a fashion law one that I found that was really good, and there was one other one, I forget what it was, but there's another one I found. We can link to them for you.
Yeah,
so we'll see. Let's see.
Yeah, and hopefully
I'm like 10% excited and 90% skeptical.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it with two hard blinks.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna. Wait and see.
Just wait. We shall see. We're pulling down the proverbial blind, the front window blind, and just kind of like taking a peek. We're not. Yeah.
Not investing too much hope into it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. We know the difference between hope and false hope here at the Fashion Hags, and especially when it comes to fashion.
Yes, we've been burned too many times.
Yes.
The other thing too is if these big companies make it happen, I mean, whatever it is, these whatever transparency initiatives, eye roll. If America is not on board and if China is not on board, forget
nothing.
It.
If the oil industry is not on board, because they're never on board.
Nope, they're going to do their own thing.
Yeah.
Like they always have and they always will.
I mean, like if it comes from a politician, that alone
is infuriating.
Tells me that it's probably just bullshit, you know? It's like, who does France buy most of their oil from? The U.S. Who buys a lot of their military operations? Like, all of their military outfitting, it comes from the U.S.
Yeah.
It comes from, you know, who has stake in wars across the country, the same wars, the U.S. and Canada and France.
Yeah.
And... This just looks like sleight of hand to me. It's like, look at what I'm doing over here while you make sure you don't notice that I'm also in bed with the American government and Trump by example. You know, people just, it's PR and, you know.
I'm excited that there is that. I'm excited is probably a very strong word. I'm interested and curious that it is coming from a politician. Because they sure as shit ain't going to do it by themselves.
Clearly.
There is no way that these people are going to get together and decide to do this sort of thing on their own.
They've had every opportunity and
they refuse to do it again and again and again. And all they care about is that bottom line.
So hopefully then at the next G7, used to be a G8 until they kicked Russia out, but now it's a G7. And, you know, maybe the next General Assembly, United Nations, maybe they go, oh, you know what? That was a good idea. Let's put some shit down on paper and make it for real.
It's been a year. This is what happened. This is what's not happened. Let's see what can be done.
The Amazon is gone. We need to get serious. Just kidding. I don't mean that. That would be a nightmare.
Oh, Southeast Asia's burning. The Congo's burning. The Amazon's burning.
Everything's burning.
Everything's burning.
You guys, we got to move on to obsessions.
It's too sad to live in this space for much longer.
Oh, okay. We're going to be optimistic.
And we're going to move on to obsessions.
And we're going
to
turn. We're all going to turn into vegans.
I will never give up ice cream. It's never going to happen.
No, I'm never. You know, I'm not giving up leather. I'm sorry. It's not happening.
Yeah, that's true too.
Because the alternatives fucking suck.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not giving up a charcuterie board.
No.
Or white fists and rice when I go home in the winter. Absolutely not.
Butter? No.
Ugh.
We got to stop this right now.
Anyway.
Croissants for that matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a long list.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Oh, we're back though, and we can obsess about things. We've had lots of time to obsess about things. I've had so many things being like, this will be my obsession for the next recording, and we don't get our shit together, and just life happens. We all get in our own way, and it doesn't happen. And now, today, I was just like, well, shit, I had a whole bunch. Why did I write them all down? I only wrote some of them down.
I only wrote some of them down too.
Well, there you go.
Who wants to start?
I'll start.
You start.
Okay.
So, first things first.
First things first, I'm the realist.
Did I talk
Hands
about...
flat on the table.
Did I talk about the documentary about the Romanoffs? Have I talked about that yet?
You talked about the TV show about the Romanoffs. The Hulu or the Amazon one about the Romanoffs. You talked about that one.
I didn't talk about the actual Romanoff family, like the last
no,
one.
No, I'm
last...
interested in that. I tried watching that show. I was not into it, but I'd watch a documentary about it.
The one that was on...
Amazon.
Okay, there's one on Netflix. It's called The Last Tsars. And it is fascinating. It goes so deep into...
There's a lot of cool, weird shit.
Oh my God. And like, it's this fascinating juncture
Please
in history.
Please tell me there's some fucking Rasputin stuff
in
there.
Oh, it's full
Thank
Rasputin.
You.
Like, they get into it. They get into like the reality of how this guy was able to
insert
bamboozle
himself,
these
yes.
people.
He
completely played into their delusions of grandeur and the delusions
and
of thinking themselves
their,
as
yeah.
gods.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they
yeah.
literally thought that they were gods.
Like, wowza.
That is like such a shift in like the like these
that's a huge context
yeah. in the time when like the Russian citizens were fighting World War One and like seeing some of the realist horrors of human existence, and then their
these
rulers
assholes.
their ruler or their guide thinks he's like ordained by God, and it's this like complete imbalance in reality.
Wow.
And like,
I remember
that
learning this
led to the destruction of the Russian
of the
empire
Russian, yeah
you
yeah.
know like
there
it completely
had been around for hundreds
300
of years.
Years of Romanoff rule gone in like in 20 something years.
Yeah,
I remember learning about the revolution and
yeah
essentially the murder or assassination, I think both words apply, of the family.
I'd say assassination,
all of this shit that was yeah. happening. And this was in like I was in high school in the late 90s early 2000s. And I remember learning about this, and it was in the same century that I, like, it was less than 100 years
yeah.
that this was
From your
happening.
Existence.
There's photographs
yeah,
of these people, of this whole thing happening, and thinking this is
There's video
the
footage
most fascinating
of people storming the palace.
I've ever seen.
And
yeah,
it's
all
the
stuff
in this
in 1917, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What is it called?
And people dying. It's called The Last Tsars.
Okay.
Yeah, so it follows from when... Nicholas took the throne.
Yeah.
He got married to Alexandra and the yeah. political implications of that, because she wasn't Russian. She was German, and like bringing this German princess, and people thought she was a German spy, and it led to people not trusting the royal family. And then she had this like relationship with Rasputin
they couldn't have a boy.
They had four daughters, and then they finally had the son, and he was a hemophiliac.
Yeah.
And they kept it from everybody. The entire
well,
family.
Well, they have to. He's a god.
He's a god.
He's perfect.
He's supposed to inherit the Romanoff yeah. dynasty.
And
you know,
leave
like
the country for
imagine
for
like
the next century.
These people, like their problems are just so otherworldly. They're like, oh, my son, who is a god, is going to die, and he has this affliction, and it's all my fault because it comes from my family line, and this woman internalized all of
oh
this.
My God,
you know, and she's oh god, it's just
being
so
a
gross.
Mom's not hard.
You
enough.
Know what I mean? Like it's like, and I like that it came from this really human perspective, and they went into like the fact that Alexandra was like a severe drug addict and like took a lot of cocaine wow. and opium to deal with her stress and her anxiety mm. and like she was so manipulative, like she was so malleable and it was so easy to manipulate her emotions and all this stuff, and it like basically just like crumbled, everything crumbled underneath them.
Wow. And they were like yeah. legitimately in love, right? Like
oh yeah they were
really
head over heels, like
yeah
there are some steamy sex scenes in this
Ooh,
documentary because
hello.
They were like very like physically attracted
yeah.
to one another
huh.
yeah there was this was no arranged marriage, and that's why it was so.
It was probably problematic. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They would have him rather married into like basically inbred within
the royal other house. Russian family.
Get a cousin in here.
Here you go.
Yeah, it's so. I remember like this story blowing my mind in school and being like, "Oh my!" Like, first of all, it's a murder story. It's a revolution story. It's the coolest history of all time, and it's the age of photographs. I can go and there's photos that exist of these people. It's so like this is happening now. Like, wild. This is so insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
This so there's is like ancient Egypt shit. So that's
happening. Yeah.
But literally, like this dynasty is so old when it like. At the beginning of it, the gentry and like the peasants, if for lack of a better word, of Russia, literally thought that the Tsar was a god, and was like God's representative on Earth, and he was
their leader,
and he was their leader. And you can look at any kind of monarchy all over the world, and it's pretty fucking similar.
I was say France was exactly the same. England's they were the all same, divinely you know? Chosen. Yeah. The emperor or whatever England. The king was always a. Like, and the religion played into it too.
In Italy, but
in Italy, absolutely. Yeah. England, they started their own damn church.
Yeah. Anointed by God.
Yes.
As I learned from The Crown.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
But that's it's also fascinating just to see it from the perspective of the Russian people who were getting the rawest deal. Like,
I bet,
people,
hey.
Like, fuck. At the end of the war, like, children, like, they have all this footage of children, like, all littering the streets, just. Completely famished and like their bones were orphaned hanging out and like they were so ill and all of their parents had died because they got like either their father died in the war and their mother like got ill or like had to leave to go
crazy.
And
sieges you know, and it's stuff. Just so like, I remember all the World War One stuff where they just like was a Stalingrad. There were like 600 days or something like that where they just all locked in a city and surrounded and just died off.
Yeah.
From disease and famine and
and not to mention the rest of the world laid waste to the Russian military for the better
destroyed
part of 3 decades.
Them.
Yeah, that World War One, and then in World War Two, they lost 22 million men in World War Two, and their population is still in recovery for the men that were lost. Do you remember that? It was a Vice show, and it was a fashion.
And
she goes to Russia, and she goes to, I can't remember her name. She's this great model.
Is it Notes on Style or something like that? Yeah,
it was like a travel
Haley
show.
Haley
Benton Gates.
Yes,
and she went to Moscow or did this thing in Russia or whatever, and she did this like dating thing.
Oh yeah, where she had to like they gave her a makeover and they made her talk to some Russian men.
Yeah, and they're like, wanted. Don't go for these kinds of women, like the women. And it was literally a picture of her, like they were using
from a Prada ad or whatever. Yeah,
But their population is still in recovery from losing.
Oh yeah, because they had more women than men because of these dating.
It's like 5-1 or something insane.
Wow,
it's fucked. It's so crazy.
Well, I'm very interested in this. I haven't watched a good documentary.
Russian history is so crazy. Yeah.
And I know barely anything about it, too.
I know nothing about it. And it's so, like, in the grand scheme of the history of these kinds of monarchies, it's so immediate. It's
it's right there.
Modern.
Yeah.
It's literally like the fall of the last great empire within, like, the last span of time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of British. Although they are, they've.
I'd still say they have a good stranglehold on the world.
And they did have
Yeah,
Russia had a pretty crash and burn.
Yeah, it was a very hard line from a monarchy to a democracy or some semblance
of
a democracy.
Whatever they wanted to call it.
Whatever they want to call it.
I don't think it was a democracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just so not oligarchy.
An oligarchy, Yeah.
Mind you, they have an oligarchy now, right?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of rich people in charge.
Ooh, I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yes, please. I will gladly watch
that. So good. So good. And the guy who plays Rasputin, I don't know, he kind of carries it, to be honest.
Rasputin.
Yeah, lover of the Russian queen.
What a creep, eh?
I'm fascinated by
like,
him.
What
he repulsed and like, ugh.
He was like a member of like a sex cult from northern Russia. And he thought that he could heal women
with his dong.
By having sex with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. He thought that like
it was quite large.
It was likened to prayer. Like it was.
Oh.
Yeah. So like the upper. Oof. This is how he got in with the upper crust of Russian aristocracy. He went to all of these parties with all of these bored Russian like ladies and whatever the hell titles right. that you have in Russia. I'm not sure if it's the same as
who anywhere. Are married to whoever.
Married to these old Russian dudes who are all sure, fighting wars for the last 15 yeah. years, you know. And he just entertained them and listened to them, literally listened to their problems, which no one would, like their husbands certainly didn't listen right. to their problems.
Oh, hell no.
I've read Anna Karenina. Yeah. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
Nobody gave a shit about this woman.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, so, he's like.
Little Rasputin walks in.
And listens to your problems and makes you calm and wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, boom.
And you're all back.
You're in.
Guys.
Everyone, you know, Alexandra, you need to meet this priest. You really need to meet this priest.
And this girl, like, I can imagine, like, all the women be like,
they were called the two, there was like the Black Sisters or something. They were like two sisters who were in mourning because their husbands had died and they only wore black and they were the women who introduced Rasputin.
He was the introduction.
You'd have to, there'd have make this to shit be up. An in.
It's but so Russian.
It's so insane that this yeah. is factual history in the last.
And this is how people
years.
Thought. These were actual thought Perfect. Patterns that people had. And they were like, yeah,
that's fine.
We'll
Sounds
do
good.
This.
Sounds
yeah.
legit.
Yeah.
So insane.
Yeah. Like,
God. You guys, Wowza. Be a good listener. Get your girl off. That's all you need. You want to take over the Russian Empire?
Don't let some weird dude from a sex cult come in.
Here's how we did it. Yeah. Here's how we took over Russia. Good listener. Get a girl to come. That's it. That's yeah. all you did.
Like, boom, the fall of the empire.
Really all you need.
I think it's a lot
we
more
might be
complex
overstating.
Than that.
I think we're overstating that.
Yeah.
But
yeah. You have to seize the means of production and all of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, all of the factory workers needed to revolt and join the revolution for this to happen, you know?
Right.
Yeah, they had to stop giving the Russian military arms and means to maintain a stranglehold over the population.
Oh, lordy.
Also, be a good listener. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Go. Just shut up for a minute. And
don't
let her
want
talk.
Your carriage to get blown up by a revolutionary.
Just let her yeah. talk.
God. A little bit of compassion and selflessness goes a long way in the world.
Yeah.
And
and what?
That's enough for me.
On that note, I'm really into plants now. I've gotten a lot of plants recently in the last few months.
Like indoor or outdoor?
House plants.
Okay, yeah.
Because I don't give a fuck about the gardening. I don't care. I don't want to be out there. It's fine. There's bugs and it's dirty. It's gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's spiders and moths.
It's hot. Yeah, I'm good.
No, thanks.
But I have been getting a lot of houseplants and I'm trying to learn. And I'm also trying to convince a lady I know who runs a flower shop to start workshops about, like,
oh my
plant.
God. Mm-hmm. What a great idea.
Husbandry? I don't know what it's called.
I think it's called phonology. No, I just made that up. I don't know what it is.
But no, it could be really cool. I'm trying to figure out different plants.
Oh no, wait. Rare. Fauna is animals.
Florology.
Flora.
Not phone like telephone.
Dave, edit that out. Yeah. Sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Done. It's going to take a lot more than that.
Oh, no. We're going to have to go back to the beginning.
Delete everything.
Start again.
Check Russia. Just burn it off.
We're going to delete all 85 episodes.
Welcome to the Fab Six. Episode one. Welcome. Who knows what a podcast is?
Not us. Anyway, it's been fun. And I'm trying to figure out how to not have them die. Because after trying plants for so long, and just having them die because I didn't actually try or learn about them.
How many do you have?
I don't know, probably about a dozen.
What's your over-under? How many do you have and how many have died?
One has died.
It's pretty good.
And it was a little weird succulent. There was like some weird gift that's in a weird pot. I'm like, you're never going to survive.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
So this is for show and you're supposed to die in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But then
it's supposed to be in a desert also.
Yeah, and I checked it. Yeah, exactly. This was not to be on my mantelpiece.
Yeah, in your air-conditioned home.
Yeah,
in the rainforest.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've been trying a bunch of things, and so far, so good. Things aren't actually, like, growing new leaves.
Ooh, that's exciting.
I bought, like, a little jade plant, which is, like, the little, like, they got real thick leaves. It's almost like a succulent.
Okay.
I guess it is a succulent. But apparently, they're really easy to make cuttings of and make other plants of.
Oh, sweet.
So I'm trying to do that. So I'm just going to let that sit for a bit. And the same thing, you got to like let it sit for a week and like see how it reacts to that
its environment,
that
yeah.
window or whatever. Does it be close to the window? Does it need to be far away? Could just, you know, direct light, indirect light, blah, 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 blah. So I'm trying to learn. And I have a lot of what they call plant mamas.
What is that?
Just ladies who have plants. And I happen to know through the wonders of the internet a bunch of plant mamas. And my friend Madeline is also good. She knows about plants. So I'm trying to figure out. I just feel like I go to other people's houses and they don't have any plants.
It's a weird thing when you start noticing.
Yeah. And I didn't notice it for years because I never had any. Or I had like some random like IKEA plot that I just bought on a whim because it was on sales. I walked through that part of the store or whatever. So I'm trying to figure out. Like we do. Yeah, we moved last year. So we're trying to figure out how to make this place feel like a home. And I realized that plants help. Plus the kids can help too.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, there's a bunch of things that like one day that plant can go on the floor, but it can't now because the kids will just dig in the pot and make a big mess. So now it needs to be up a bit.
Right.
And then one day it will go in the corner that I'm thinking it needs to go in.
When it's like 3 or 4 feet high.
Yes. And the kid is not 2 years, right.
two years old.
The kid is not and 3 years old and not curious. Wrecking everything in a human wrecking ball. I've also decided that, you know, that those, it's like a chart of lawful good, neutral good. Lawful, like there's a bunch
chaotic
of
chaotic
like,
evil. Yeah.
Yeah.
My second child is chaotic good. She does whatever the fuck she wants.
Right.
But it's never malicious. It's never contrived. It's never like she's
never
wrecking ball
hitting her sister repeatedly.
Absolutely. Just whatever she wants. Climb on a thing, rip a thing, dump a bag of Doritos on the couch. Like it's
they chaotic, neutral,
evil,
and lawful.
Evil and lawful are the two extremes, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like chaotic. Neutral,
lawful,
and then on the other axis
is like good, bad,
good, neutral, evil.
Yeah, because there's chaotic evil, where you just fuck shit up because you were because
you want to
because you're evil
and you want to destroy things
with intention.
You're malicious.
Yes.
Poppy with intention. Poppy's not malicious at all. She just does whatever the fuck she wants. And my firstborn is more of a lawful good. She likes to do good and she follows the rules.
Right.
And she likes to know the rules and she likes to follow them.
Yeah.
Puppy and she'll judge if you don't.
Poppy does not care about the rules. She's not interested in the rules.
Right. Poppy is above the law.
Yes.
So Margot is Dave and Poppy is you.
Yet again, this keeps coming up. This is not the first time that argument has been made. Anyway, so once
studies have shown
the data shows again and again. So one day I will have to put my plants where I want, but I'm also trying to teach the kids about. We put some stuff on the balcony. It's like I made pesto the other night. I'm like, we grew this basil.
Oh, lovely.
That's so fun. Cute. I got a little chive plant. I just cut a little bit of chive, bring them on my potatoes.
Nice.
Whatever.
Yeah, we figured out a herb garden happening on my balcony.
We've tried a bunch and they failed every time. And somehow just the configuration we have now on our deck this summer has been great. And like I had to make more pesto than I wanted to because the little basil bush was just going wild.
That's a good
problem. What are you
going
to do? It's a good problem to have. So that's one of my obsessions. I do have another one.
Go on.
It's this. Again, it's not like the most intellectual thing. Mind you, plants can be pretty intellectual. It's like science and stuff.
I think plants are
florology, right? My scientist friend told me about the florology.
It's a very highbrow level of
hoity-toity. Anyway, there's this other. It's a Facebook group I'm a member of, and it's this cat is chunky. And it's all fat cats, and there are so many members. And I forget, I think it's a closed group, but like you just ask for membership and you're let in. But and plus I've muted so many people in my Facebook,
right?
Like feed that this is like at least 40%.
Yeah.
It's just these chunky cats. And it's C-O-C-H-O-N-K-Y. And there's a space in between each letter and they're all capitalized. So it's chunky. And there's like different levels of chunkiness. And like you're like a baby chunk, and then there's like the biggest chunk is, oh Lord, he coming. And it's a video of like some fat ass cat. Like,
oh, so over. Good.
It just brings me and this wasteland of existence.
Yeah.
You're currently experiencing where the existential dread is just crippling at times. It brings me much joy.
Here's some dumb cats. I like it. Keep it simple.
Some of them stand up. Some of them sit down. Some of them don't shut up. Some of them never talk. Some are black. Some are tabby.
Oh, so good.
And it's
their tiny little feet. Their tiny little legs that stick out from under their belly.
What do they call it? Like himb feet?
Hims feet.
Hims feet. Himpeets. That's what it is. Oh. And there's like all these like weird like lingo, like internet meme shit, like words happening. It's great. And it's nothing but like
posse vibes. It's like everybody's happy. Nobody's an asshole. There's no weird political shit. Mind you, somebody did post a picture of a dog's butthole and said it looked like Donald Trump. And it's kind of like,
not the place. Not in our chunk.
No.
But on your regular Facebook.
His name here.
It's pure positivity. And if you like cats, and you like fat cats, this cat is chunky. This is where you need to be.
Mm-hmm. You got to find joy where you can.
Exactly.
There's also bodega cats on Twitter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I follow them on Instagram.
There's just cats just falling asleep in like...
On
like
a pile of Coke.
Pile of chips or like a stack of Coke cans, like in the corner, or
it's pretty sweet,
you know, in their allocated little bed at the entrance of the store. Yes,
their abandoned allocated bed at the entrance of the store.
Just they're sleeping on a on that bread.
Yeah,
that then you'll buy and take home and eat.
100%.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, you thought you wanted bread? You can't have it because the cat's.
No, come back tomorrow.
The cat's butthole's been on it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, so good.
Anyway, so that's my small joy.
Okay, my small joy is a bit of a weird one. But since I am not on Facebook anymore, which I do not miss, I have been on Twitter a little bit more, just as an observer mostly. And I follow lots of, like, you know, Globe and Mail news and feminist blogs and feminist posts and like just a bunch of shit. And I found this Twitter thread through Chrissy Teigen, which if you're not following Chrissy Teigen, you're absolutely doing social media wrong.
Yes.
And it is called Am I the Asshole? And it is AITA underscore Reddit.
I've seen these. Yes, I've seen the Reddit. I've seen the Reddit ones.
This Twitter feed, I have spent nights awake in the dark just scrolling this Twitter feed. Here are some examples. This all comes from Reddit. There are real postings that come from Reddit that are screenshot.
Yeah, they're people giving a scenario. This has happened. Am I the asshole here?
Am I the asshole? Here's like a forum where you can comment whether or not I'm the asshole.
Is this my problem or is it their problem?
So this one, the Twitter feed is just like the screenshot.
I was going to say, I can't deal with Reddit. The interface just bothers me. I can't do it.
But here's a real safe alternative.
Oh, here we go.
Because all of the comments are they're not the Reddit comments, but there's still tons of comments that are just on that tweet.
Yeah. You don't have to wade through fucking stupid Reddit.
Here's some examples. Am I the asshole for being furious with my husband for getting this sublime sun tattooed on his arm? Am I the asshole for telling a coworker that the office is not a daycare center? Am I... Oh, wait, here's another... Wait, here's a good
boy,
one.
This is gold.
Am I the asshole for unintentionally getting a coworker fired and blacklisted?
Ooh!
I mean, yes.
More context.
The answer is yes.
I'm going to need some more information. Yeah. Maybe they deserved it.
Yeah.
Here's a fun one. Am I the asshole for threatening to quit my friend's podcast if he doesn't stop bringing his girlfriend on the show?
Oh, my God.
Am I the asshole for filling a big gulp with chili? Like,
no.
They are,
you girl.
Yeah.
They are very vast and diverse.
Accept your judgment is the first, like,
yeah, they have, like, of rules of how to do it. Am I the asshole for having my boyfriend's sandwich made a certain way? There's so many things that you'll start
these
reading
are amazing.
It, and you make, like, a quick judgment off the top, and you're like, yeah, you're obviously the asshole. Or, like, no, for sure, you're in the right. This is no problem. You're not the asshole.
Yeah.
And then you read the context, and you're like...
You see other people's input.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just, like, before you even get to the input, like, the context behind, like, am I the asshole for filling my big gulp with chili could be something like, bumped into a guy who was homeless. I didn't have any change. I left my wallet at home. He was really hungry. So I filled this thing up. It's free. It comes with the thing. I bought a Coke and I filled up my big gulp with chili so I could help
this
guy on the street.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. No, you're not the asshole. And it's like, it goes so far outside of where you think it'll go. And some of them are like red flag city. Like, your boyfriend's the asshole and you got to get the fuck out of this relationship immediately.
Start getting $20 cash back every time you use a credit card.
Yeah.
Start saving money.
Out. Yeah. And some of them were like, you could never have predicted that this is a real scenario that someone has lived through.
Yeah.
Like the one that got me into this thread was on Chrissy Teigen's post. And it was all about this woman who is pregnant and her in-laws they have a collection of like mice and like mouse figurines.
Okay.
And there's one who's like
the main mouse, whose name is Timothy. I will link it on the blog.
Okay.
Whose name is Timothy, who they, his in her in-laws sort of talk about as baby. as a grandchild. Their first grandchild is Timothy.
They reference Timothy.
The mouse. Not only that, but they actually use Timothy to speak on their behalfs. So they will like hold this stuffed mouse in front of this woman's face and be like, oh, I'm sad you didn't give me a sand. Or like the most insane bullshit you have ever heard. And you're like, you're like, girl, run for the hills. This is fucking
you in danger,
crazy.
Girl.
Call
you
a
in
fucking danger, exorcist.
Girl.
Yeah.
So that is the one that I was like, I need to know more
about. Yes, please.
I will link that. I'm upset. It just keeps going. That's the thing with Twitter.
I'm like that with the mother-in-law Reddit. I was like, what the fuck is my mother-in-law doing?
Oh.
There's some fucked up stuff.
There's some fucked up ones on the relationships Reddit, yes, too. They're like, is this okay? And you're like, no. Get out. No. She's a sociopath or he's going to murder you eventually. It's time to go.
Well, yeah. So. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, there you go. It's an easy way to access
a bunch
Reddit
of strangers.
Yeah,
it's major life decisions
for their super callous opinions on the internet.
Minor amount of information and a maximum amount of opinion.
Yeah. That's really the definition of the internet.
Yeah, there you go. That's Twitter.
Truly.
And there you go. What are you gonna do?
Anyway,
that
I'm
sounds,
obsessed.
That sounds very interesting.
I'll put some links up. It's a good way to kill an hour. Yeah,
there you go.
No problem.
I
was
like,
no,
you gotta wait for a bus or whatever.
You'll miss the bus.
You'll wait for a couple buses.
Anyway, that's it. You guys, we've been doing this for
quite
long enough, I think.
Yep, I think we're good. I think we've wrapped it up.
Wrap.
If more stuff of this fashion pact happens, we'll talk about it. I'm going to keep my Google alerts on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to be optimistic on this. We'll see what happens in a year from now if this conversation is completely forgotten.
They're going to reconvene in October, apparently, and like see how it goes.
Okay, well, that's good.
So who knows what that means? We'll find out in October.
Yeah.
Because that gives them like 2 months or something, 2-3 months to
maybe we'll do
make that PowerPoint presentation and then pat each other on the back.
They'll have a lot of words like,
and then take their private yacht to St. Moritz. No, wait, that's in the mountains. That's something.
Private jet.
That's where it was. Mm-hmm. There you go, on the coast of France.
You guys, thank you so much for hanging in with us and for tuning back in and for all of the lovely comments that we've received on social media. We love it, mostly Instagram.
Yes.
The best. We are so thankful to have you here and we get to do this and then we have no rules. We can do whatever we want and we
make
it
happen.
You guys are into that. So thanks for tuning back in. Who knows when the next one will be? It'll be in your feeds when you want it. And there you go. That's how it goes.
We're like Mary Poppins. We show up when you need
when
us.
When we're needed.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like Mary Poppins in many ways.
Just as not as like graceful of a landing when we don't have the magic bag.
No.
We got a lot of bags, but none of them are taken.
Got a lot of bags.
You don't want none of that, though.
No.
Anyway.
But we'll show up in a look, and we'll try and be of service.
And we'll have a strong opinion one way or the other.
Yeah. It's true.
If all else fails,
yeah,
we have our opinions.
Yes.
We have our non-expert opinions.
Yes.
And we love you.
But we love fashion more.
True.
It's still true.
Goodbye. Yeah.
Bye. Bye. Fashion.
Hey.